Madam Clerk, find out who is here. Mr. Deputy Mayor? Yeah, Assemblymember Culligan is going to be a little late.
Okay. Warren Keough, District 1.
Present.
Noel Woods, District 2.
Present.
Ronald Arvin, District 3.
Here.
Steve Culligan, District 4, is running 15 minutes late. Darcy Solomon, District 5, I'm expecting. Jim Culver, District 6.
I'm here.
Vern Halter, District 7. You do have a quorum, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. The agenda is before you. Any comments? Mr. Manager?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. We'd like to go to, I believe it's page 5. Under the AMs, it's AM number 13-142, letter P, AM number 13-142. We'd like to remove it from tonight's meeting and bring it back at our next regularly scheduled agenda. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Is there any objection to the...
Is there a reference to that AM to be pulled?
Let me take a quick look.
Can we pull it later in the meeting so we can have the attorney...
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
So we have an intact agenda at this point. If there's no objection, we will proceed. And we'll ask Ms. Weatherhorn to lead us in the pledge.
Henry.
You.
Yeah.
You surprised her.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have the minutes of August 7th and August 20th. Agency reports. What cities do we have today? Wasilla. Mr. Cottle.
Mr. Mayor, Assembly members, I have just three items tonight. My name is Bert Cottle, City of Wasilla. First one is we had a meeting with DOT on the Wasilla Bypass, so hopefully Wasilla stays in the discussions with DOT on the Wasilla Bypass. Number two, at the school board meeting that was just here about a week ago, we made a presentation there in reference to the new two schools we're building on KGB, reference to Reddington Schools. And just for your consideration, maybe it's time that we consider a shooting range when we do that school. It would be nice to build it now and not come in and try and build something later. And the school board was receptive to that because of what school programs they do have going on that would, whether it's ROTC or whatever it is with archery or stuff, a shooting range would actually make sense. And the final thing is in looking at your legislative priorities to go down to Juneau this year, I thought there was some discussion prior to that in support of the upgrades or the location and the money needed for the new fire station, the one taken off of Main Street in Wasilla, the old Jake Wright fire station maintenance shop. There was support from all, at least our mayor and at least one other mayor, about getting a new maintenance shop. So just something for your consideration when we go down to Juneau. Thank you.
Thank you. Palmer. Houston. School District.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly. My name is Luke Fulp, Chief Business Official. Dr. Promo had other commitments tonight. She regrets she couldn't be here. I do have an enrollment update from the school district. We projected 17,317 students in FTE. This is important for our student funding at the state level. Currently, we're reporting 17,445 students district-wide. So this is a growth, unexpected or unanticipated growth beyond our projected numbers. It was welcomed growth, and we've already made several adjustments to our staffing to better align our class sizes with the actual students and where they showed up in our schools. Along with that, we will be making adjustments to discretionary budgets to account for any scalability factors that need to be taken care of in our budgets as well. In other items, I did want to extend an invitation to all assembly members and the mayor. This Friday, September 20th at 6:30, we will be having a ribbon cutting and field dedication for Houston High School. I've provided the borough clerk with those invitations, as well as OSOP passes to all state sanctioned events. That means any of our activities, any sports, both regional and state competitions. We want our assembly members to be in our schools. A large part of our schools are activities, and we want to make those programs available to our assembly members. So the borough clerk has that those items, and we just thank you for your continued support of schools. Thank you.
Thank you. And, yeah, I guess we keep growing, because normally we don't reach that anticipated number till quite a bit later. But so that means it's going to be even higher, probably, right?
Right now, what we're doing is tracking student enrollment. The official count doesn't begin until October, so it's that 20-day count period in October. During that time, we'll know the actual numbers. But right now, it's it's still what's called a projection, because those numbers aren't the 20-day count. Okay. But we are tracking it daily, and we, as long as those kids stay enrolled at the Matsu Borough School District, we will receive additional funding at the state level for those students.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Assemblymember Colbert.
Mr. Fold, pass on thanks to yourself and the superintendent and school board. Those OSO passes, as Larry knows, former school board members, a big deal. Any event, the hockey tournaments. We sponsor the state wrestling tournament here, I think. We also sponsor the state hockey tournament. It's a huge benefit. It gets us out there. I appreciate that a lot. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And way to go on the count. That's good news.
Yes. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And we'll note for the record that Assemblymember Solomon arrived at 6:09. And we come to committee reports. There was no joint school board committee. Any assembly public relations? Don't see any. Mr. Manager.
Yes, good evening. We have a couple events this evening. First, we have the North America Outdoor Institute with a brief presentation.
Thank you. My name is Deborah McGann. I'm the Executive Director of the North America Outdoor Institute, and today I'm joined by Bea Adler with Matsu Borough Emergency Services and Andy Romano, who is the CEO for the North America Outdoor Institute. And this past weekend, we held an emergency preparedness expo at the Matsu College. We had over 700 people from the Valley come attend this program to help them get prepared for emergencies and disasters of all types. And this was made possible thanks to support from our sponsors, and that included BP, the Matsu Health Foundation, Team CC, Fred Meyer, Wendy's, MTA, and the Mat Valley Federal Credit Union were our title sponsors. And then we had a lot of supporting sponsors. So it was really a community effort, and it wouldn't have been possible without all the volunteers and the help that we had to make this happen. One part of this, the Matsu Health Foundation sponsored our poster contest, and we invited all the children of the Matsu Valley to participate from ages 5 to 18. We have four winners that we're going to award tonight, and we really appreciate the opportunity to do this for you guys as well. And so we're going to go ahead and get started with our 5 to 7-year-old. And our award poster goes to Emiliano King of, and I believe it's Shaw Elementary? Shaw Elementary. So come on up. So each of the children gets a $50 gift card to Fred Meyer. They get a 3-day survival pack from Department of Emergency Services. They get a gift card to Wendy's, and they get a certificate to recognize their efforts. This was a wonderful opportunity for families to talk about emergency preparedness and what it means to them and what the things they need to do to be prepared. Our next winner is Cassandra Wilds, and she is our 7 to 9-year-olds. And the backpacks came from LEPC, the Local Emergency Planning Committee. So this next one goes, what's the age category? It was 11 to 13-year-olds, and this is Haley Holland. And our last winner was in the 14 to 18 category, and it was Kendall Blackwood. And it doesn't look like she made it tonight, but we'll make sure she gets her award as well. Thank you very much for this opportunity.
Yeah, let us see her poster. Is that it there?
Oh, yeah, her poster.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Next this evening, we have Joe Perkins on a road and rail construction update. And, Joe, do you have any posters to show us, too? Do you have any posters to show us? No.
And Mr. Mayor and members of the Assembly, the presentation's in your red folders. It's not going to be up on the screen.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, Assembly members, I'm Joe Perkins, consultant for the borough on capital projects. And what I wanted to do tonight was to give you a status report of where we stand on the capital projects. My last briefing to you, I think, was June 18th. And I think we've made considerable progress since that time. All of the projects are either under construction, under design, and with the exception of one project, which we're having to scope with DOT, which is the Big Lake intersections. In your folder is a chart, pretty well what I gave you last time, listing all the projects, funding, and that's total funding, state and GF, and the status of the projects. And I'd like to run through them very, very quickly. Caswell Lakes road project, we have the construction contract before you all tonight. I mentioned in my last briefing that we were short money on the project. And we bid it in the base bid and alternatives, and I think what's before you tonight is to award the base bid. We don't have enough money right now for the alternative, for the alternates, but we do have sufficient funds for the base bid. Houston Hawk Lane is currently under construction. I'd say it's probably about 40 to 50% done. The contractor's making a lot of progress. Willow Lake Drive construction is underway. It's probably 80 or so percent. Whether or not we get the pavement on it this year is going to be totally dependent on the weather. Big Lake and South Big Lake intersections, as I mentioned, the scope's being coordinated with DOT as it's their intersections and with the local community council. Sullivan Caudill upgrade, the project was broken in two pieces. The first piece was the Bodenburg Bridge for $1.7 million. That is under construction and somewhere around 80 to 85% complete. It should be open to traffic for this winter. The second part of the Sullivan Caudill upgrade is the actual upgrade of Sullivan and Caudill. That design is underway. We will have construction in the summer of 2014. The Sutton Pave Parkway for $1 million in total for the project. The construction contract is waiting your assembly approval tonight. Wasilla Clap Mac Road, the design is basically complete by the city of Wasilla. And they are right now in the process of procuring right-of-way, and that activity is continuing. We figure probably construction in 2014, dependent on the right-of-way getting procured by the city. The borough's role in that will be to go for an invitation to bid and actually run the construction contract. Butte and Old Glen pathway. I mentioned previously that we had a right-of-way problem and DOT owned it. We found that we can get a pathway in from Plumley to our road. From our road to the river, which is a fairly short distance, we've got some serious right-of-way problems with the existing DOT right-of-way. So the pathway, we plan on constructing the pathway next summer, and from Plumley to our road as the first phase. We want to go ahead and design the second phase of it, which will go on down to the river. But again, we got to solve the right-of-way problems. Palmer, Dogwood, and Felton, $4.3 million. The design is in progress. That we are planning to bid with phase two of Bullguard Road. This is the Felton is a little street that goes from the school down, I think it's Dogwood, whatever. A little road right by the school. It's not very long, and we do have some coordination with DOT as they've got a major project on a piece of that road. Mocketance Elementary, South Trunk Road, design in progress. Phase one construction, summer of 2014, and we're still developing the scope of that construction. The phase two, which is the railroad overpass funding, is in the proposed MSB school access bond issue, which I hope receives favorable results when voted on. Sheldon-Beverly Lake Road, it's a two-phase project also. Phase one, Church to Beverly Lake, we will build in the summer of 2014. Beverly Lake to Pittman is in progress. It's going to require some additional money for construction. We have enough for design, and we will have to go through route location on that with quite a bit of involvement with the local people and public hearings and so on. So that'll take a while to get phase two ready to go, but what our goal is to have it ready to go, and then hopefully it can make a priority list for potential funding from the borough. Sheldon and Lucille Road upgrade, that's a phase two project. Phase one is the intersection, and we plan to construct the intersection, reconstruct it, next summer. Phase two, the Sheldon upgrade, we're identifying the right-of-way, and we're starting acquisition. Construction time frame is going to depend on exactly what we need on right-of-way. And there actually is a phase three of that project, which is Lucille Street improvements, which are included also in the proposed school bond package. And again, I we'll have that ready to go, and if that's passed, we'll be able to build it. Vine Road has taken considerable work looking at Vine Road, because Vine Road, to really do it to where the standards are equal to the standards of a lot of the other roads, we don't have enough money. And I reported last time that we were probably about $10 million, I think it was, short in the money that we have. However, we have worked on this, and we've taken a look at a reduced scope. So what we plan to do with Vine, and it is under design right now, is to repave Vine, add 4-foot shoulders, and with whatever money we have left, improve the site distances on those hills, which is going to be taking the hills down as much as we possibly can without procuring additional right-of-way. The right-of-way parcels along Vine Road total somewhere about 80. So it's quite an undertaking to acquire this right-of-way. And again, we are not planning on procuring any right-of-way, maybe a slope easement or two, but we're not planning to procure right-of-way for the work that we're going to do on Vine with this money. And that's a report on your bond issue projects. Again, they're all either under construction or under design, with the exception of the Big Lake intersections, which we hopefully within the next month or so will have a project that DOT agrees to and can move on that. The other capital projects, which are basically general funded, that I was asked to look at and to help on, I've listed and you have them in blue on your charts. The first one is the Connect River Road. That money's been sitting around for quite a while. We have put that together, and that's the paving of the last mile of Connect River Road. And we have a contract which has been bid, and it's before you all tonight for approval. Bogard Road Extension East, we would have had it out for bid by now, but the City of Palmer, as most of you are aware, got an appropriation for a water main, and it doesn't make good sense for us to go out and do Bogard and then come back in and put the water main in. So we're going to incorporate the water main work in with the Bogard first contract. And right now we're working on an MOU with the City of Palmer to get the money transferred. And I assume that MOU will probably be coming to you all for approval as soon as we get it finished. Design will be rather quick. We still intend to put Bogard on the street probably in the January, February time frame. Construction next summer. And of course that takes it from the Glen Highway to 49th Street. That's phase one. Phase two, we require, and this is, as I think I reported last time, another $9 million. So hopefully that will make your priority list for a request for state appropriations this next year, and we can continue. Mockin Drive Extension has been sitting around for a long, long time, and I'm very happy to report that we have now procured all the right-of-way. We are waiting for a little bit of work on locating some driveways, some engineering work, and other than that, it's going to be ready to hit the street. And so I would assume that that's going to be bid within probably the next month or so, with construction next summer. The next projects, I just put these on because these are happening and not people really don't notice them much, but there is a bridge program, a rehab, and there's two of the projects that I looked at. Earl Drive is complete, nice little bridge, certainly going to help. And the Coto Creek bridge design, I think, is on your list of tonight to approve the designer. The last one that I'll mention on the GF funding is a project, again, that has set around for a long time, and that is South Big Lake Road Realignment. We got it put together, got it designed, put it on the street, and I'm happy to tell you the contract's before you all tonight to approve for construction. So that sort of sums up the general fund projects. I think the numbers are interesting, though, and when you look at what was really appropriated, you got about 63.8 in bond projects, but you got another 43 in these GF projects that I've mentioned. So that's a program well over $100 million, which is not small. So I'll take any questions anybody have.
Assemblymember Keel, and we'll note for the record that Assemblymember Culligan walked in at 6:22.
Through the mayor to Mr. Perkins regarding the general fund project, the Connect River Road. It's one of five items, action items before us this evening for assembly approval. You mentioned paving specifically. There's I'm looking at the at AM 13-138, and it lists it's intended for five different small projects along the entirety of the Connect River Road. The end of the road, the last mile or mile and a half, was intended for hard surfacing but not necessarily paving. Has that changed? Are we intending to pave that or not? That was a big issue in the community.
To answer your question, yes, we are going to pave it, but we're going to do it with a chip seal rather than a but there's two other – when we bid that contract, we put in three additives. that I remember right, I think it was three. One of them was to take, there's a big rock out there that is limiting sight distance. One of them was to take that rock out. We have enough money to do that, so we're going to award that. And the second one was there's a curve out there that needs super elevation added to it. And we will do that one. The one that we don't have the money for is an overlook that some folks wanted, and we don't have the money for that. And then there's a bus turnaround, not a bus turnaround, but an emergency services turnaround, and we don't have the money for that. We did check with the emergency services folks, and they're not, that's not an absolutely critical item for them. So the two things you're not getting are the overlook and the emergency turnaround.
Assemblymember Halter. Okay.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Would you get a hold of me and so we can discuss the typical section of the right-of-way needs on Selden before we get too far into design? I'd just like to look at it. The design team, if you recall, you're going to get back to me based on the cost structure, how wide we're going to make the road, what to do with the power lines and et cetera.
Yes, sir. Be very happy to.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. The other thing I think, and I guess this is for the manager on this topic, you know that our public affairs department's done such a great job documenting progress like of the rail and stuff. I think it would behoove us to get photos and document these road projects as they're being built, and then they can do like the time lapse, and we can present that to our delegation. Here's what we did with the money from start to finish on these projects. I think, you know, you flash up the $100 million and all the progress. I think we're starting to really move and roll on these things, and it'll be good to document the success. That would, I think that would help in our efforts to acquire more funding.
Assemblyman Culver, one thing that we have done, and you will see it on, it's up on Hawk Lane and it's up on Willow, we are putting signs on these projects, 4 8x4 signs saying, I forget what they say, but this is something that the borough bonds are and the state match are providing. So we are putting these signs up so when people drive by, they know what the heck this construction is, and we'll continue to do that, which I think helps quite a bit because there's a lot going on in the borough, and it's hard to figure out who's doing what. But our projects will be signed.
Assemblymember Halter.
Yes. On Kick River Road, the chip seal is in the bid tonight, right? The chip seal part of Kinnick River Road, that would the contract we're awarding tonight, that'll be part of that contract?
Yes, Assemblyman Halter, the chip seal is part of that contract, yes, sir.
And then on Vine Road, the width of Vine Road is going to be the width of the surface plus 8 feet in each side paved?
What we are looking for the width of Vine Road is 12-foot lanes, which is 24-foot, and 4-foot shoulders on either side, which gives you a total roadway of 32 feet paved.
Paved, okay. Thanks. Very good.
It's a very, very dangerous road right now. I was amazed when I got out and watched the traffic.
Thanks.
Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On South Big Lake Road realignment, the appropriation from the state was $9.7 million. The award tonight is for $5.3. Maybe the question to the manager, how are we reappropriating or asking for dispensation on how we can allocate those leftover dollars to something else?
Assemblyman Arvin, I assume in that GF funding, well, number one, we should wait till we're finished to pay off any claims or change orders or whatever we do, and then add up all the costs. But I think the way that's done is in Juneau with reappropriations. And that's one thing you all need to, you don't want to lose that money, but get it reappropriated to something else.
Follow up, if I could, Mr. Mayor, on Willow Lake Drive, you mentioned hoping to get paving done this year. When is it scheduled to be done this year?
Assemblyman Arvin, it's scheduled to be done now. And we've had a pretty rainy September. That contractor's done a good job in getting that ready. And last time I was on it, the D1 hadn't been put down yet because he doesn't want to lose that. So he'd have to put D1 and paving. But we're getting to the time of year that unless we really get some pretty weather, I'd just as soon wait till next summer to pave it, because I worry about cold weather paving. However, if we do that, we're probably going to put a couple of inches of D1 on it so somebody can maintain it, so it can be easily maintained this winter.
Somebody told me that the asphalt plant shut down on the 16th. Mr. Manager.
Mr. Mayor, I drove out Goose Bay Road today, and the DOT, I think, is paving.
Well, good. I was told wrong then.
16th of October.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's about 16th.
Okay. Mr. Manager.
Yes, with the amount of work, and our next regular assembly meeting is October the 15th, is there a need to request the Assembly a special meeting to approve some of these construction projects between now and October the 15th?
Mr. Moosey, I think I don't think I can answer that right now. I'd have to go back and look and see what we've got going. We were worried about Big Lake and or South Big Lake, and we got it in.
Okay, maybe if you, I can get somebody to give me some information before we close tonight's meeting on whether we need to request that or not.
Okay, I can tell you just as soon as I have a little time to go through all of these and think exactly where we are.
Yeah, because I want to make sure we can get as much work as we can in this winter or before winter hits. So, okay, that's why I'm asking, because we have pretty much a month for our next regular meeting. Thank you.
Assemblymember Halter.
Yes, maybe this is not a question for Mr. Perkins, but I was wondering if I could get a hold of a layout design for the railroad, how it's coming into Houston, because the city of Houston and Willow people are quite interested in just some sort of design of that, the Granite project up at Houston. Is there a layout plan or? What?
Yes, we have a total plan.
Something I could that the
on what we call it segment six, mm-hmm. which is the Y, mm-hmm. and we can give you a complete plan, because it's under construction. Right. In fact, we'd love to take you out. We can show you.
Well, I go by it every day, so I'm not worried about it. But some of the local people have some questions how the layout's going to be and things like that. So
okay, I'd be very happy to get that provided to you.
Appreciate it.
They could probably pull into the railroad office there on the Big Lake cutoff.
I think it's easier to call me.
Okay. those plans would be posted there, wouldn't they?
They're all plans for all the segments, and we have segment 1, 3, 6, which is the end, and 4 under contract.
Right, but I mean the plans would be.
And plans are there for all of those segments.
I'll save you some time. I'll go get them.
Oh, you will go there?
I'll
okay.
It's just a short distance off the parks. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Manager, still you're part of the show.
Yes, sir. Before we get into our favorite vote issue, I would like to just kind of recognize our three new directors. We have Larry McNicky, who is our new IT director. We have Terry Dolan, who's our new public works director. If you guys could stand. And our new capital project director is Mike Brown. So,
I'm glad the mic wasn't on for that one. Okay.
And we're not going to make a comment on that publicly. Next, we have the MV Susitna. We have been continuing to work on that issue. We're still working in preparation for a potential need for a core permit. But on your table tonight, there is a letter from Greg Bell, Vice Chair of your Port Commission. There was a meeting yesterday, and They wanted to do a resolution, although there was not time to put one together because I wanted them to give this to you for tonight's meeting. But essentially, there's a letter on your table with support by the Port Commission for the regular service between Port McKenzie and Anchorage, with the caveat that the borough does not operate the ferry system. So you'll see that. In addition, we have, I think, four different groups going to be sending people up to Ketchikan to look the boat over. Is that correct, Emerson? Would be four would be an accurate number of have recently or will be coming up within this next week to look at it. And then also, too, we do have a letter of strong interest with a company that agrees to put up $500,000, and they want to pay for ongoing expenses until they can ferret out the details through March 30th, 2014. So we are making some progress. Your port director has been working real hard trying to get a big offer for the ferry. That has not materialized yet. But it's not for the lack of effort of your staff. In addition, we are looking at ways to cut the short-term cost. So we will continue to work on this unless you have further direction or would like me to engage with this group that provided an offer for us, and that offer is on your table.
Assemblymember Keel.
Through the mayor to the manager, are any of the people that will be visiting the ferry in Ketchikan here in the near future, have any of them made an offer greater than the one that we have on the table before us?
This is the only, what I would call a strong offer, legitimate offer. And just to kind of back that up, you're going to want to ask your attorney if we're going to move forward on this. But the attorney working with these groups are starting to ask our attorney the right questions. And we think there's some seriousness with this. But they were the first ones the first one kind of reneged, put up $500,000 deposit and then offer to cover our carrying cost up to a certain point. Through the end of March.
If I may follow up, please.
Go ahead.
Again, Mr. Moosey, unless you think otherwise, unless you think it's inappropriate here, can we mention some of the specifics of this potential offer so we can have a better understanding of what they are actually offering?
Yes, you can. I would be hesitant. Let's just say it is the offer is significantly less than the $6 million that we want to reach. But you know, my concern is last time we did this and we had a price, then we had some offers that we thought were going to be higher that kind of fell away. So I think we can talk about the particulars on protecting the borough with this offer. But unless the assembly wants me to move forward negotiations with this group, I would prefer that we didn't reveal the offer price.
Okay, my last comment would be then this sounds like something that's more appropriate to discuss in executive session. I can tell you, Mr. Manager, my inclination is to have you and the attorney negotiate the sale of the ferry to this entity. And so I would ask that we move into executive session at the end of the meeting to specifically discuss the ferry.
Okay. It is listed publicly for direction to manager, so an executive session is definitely in order. Mr. Attorney?
If I may, Mr. Mayor, what the assembly would do is you'd move to amend the agenda and move this part that's currently listed under the manager's report to the end of the agenda. It says MV Susitna Ferry Discussion and Direction to Manager. move that under executive session on page 9 of the agenda.
That's how
make a record as to the reasons for going into executive session.
I so move.
That's how I took the motion. And we'll give it language when we get there. Is there objection? Hearing none. That amends the agenda. Mr. Manager, anything else? Mr. Attorney.
Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, I have a couple things to report on. First of all, if you look at the agenda for this evening, you'll see that marked under there is something that says sectional analysis of multifamily density standards. I have that. There's a motion to amend something previously adopted later in the agenda. It might be more productive if the Assembly still needs that sectional analysis to have me do that later in the meeting, unless you want it now. I don't know what the body's feeling is. Later. I'm hearing later.
I would suggest that.
Okay. So we'll hold off on that. I do have a little bit of litigation to report on. First one is there's a case titled Ray DeVilbiss versus Matt Niskus, who sit in a borough. It's a case brought against the borough for including parcels in a road service area where the person, Mr. DeVilbiss, who's the mayor's brother, owns parcels that are on state-maintained roads. And basically he asked the borough last year or the year before to pass an ordinance to let him out of the road service area, and the Assembly declined to do so. So he sued us, arguing it's illegal to keep him in the road service area because of a state statute. And we got an order yesterday granting the borough's motion that the state statute does not mandate the borough assembly do anything. So in other words, the borough has prevailed on the issue of who gets to make the decision as to what the boundaries of a road service area is. The court has just ruled it's the assembly, not the court system, not the individuals, but the borough assembly. The second thing that happened was he also argued that it was unconstitutional that we tax the property based on ad valorem basis, which is take the value of the property, you take a mill rate, you multiply them together, that's called ad valorem taxation, as opposed to a straight tax like a dollar a property or something. He was arguing that was unconstitutional, and we cross-moved for a judgment that it was constitutional, and again, we prevailed on that issue as well. Those are the two largest issues in the case. I don't know what other claims he may seek to amend now for the future, but that case is on its last legs now, given those rulings, and I'll keep you advised as to what's going to happen. If anybody wants more details or wants a copy of the order, it's 20 pages long, or 15 pages long, I can certainly provide it to you. The other thing I have to report on tonight is the central monofill services. This is the monofill that was going to go in here. It's been in the newspaper about litigation and court things going on. I've been getting some questions. I figured I'd give a report, which was kind of timely because we got a filing today. So if you recall, there's a proposed monofill that was going to go in south of Palmer here, adjacent to the highway where the old gravel pits are. They came in, asked for a conditional use permit from the Planning Commission. While that conditional use permit was being processed by staff, they started activities. And so staff issued first a administrative enforcement order directing them to stop doing what they're doing and take the stuff out. The second thing that was issued was citations for violating borough code, which go to court. They appealed the citations into court. They went to court, pled not guilty, had a hearing, got found guilty by the judge of violating our junk and trash ordinance, violating our conditional use permit, not having a conditional use permit ordinance. About a month and a half later, had a hearing in front of the Board of Adjustments and Appeals, who ruled that the enforcement order, well, that's not junk and trash. So what we had was inconsistent rulings. Last week, I had several discussions in-house, including with the manager, and we were getting ready to appeal the BOAA order, finding that it was not junk and trash, when, lo and behold, they dug everything out last week. It's gone. It's been removed. And so, you know, given the borough's general attitude these days, and as a matter of fact, for as long as I've been here, there was really no reason to file an appeal because the stuff was taken out. We do think the BOAA got it wrong. However, today, now that the appeal period is over, the Central Monofill Services has filed a motion with the court now saying, oh, hey, wait a minute, we should reevaluate the court case because the BOAA said this isn't junk. We don't need a permit. We can do whatever we want. So they waited until the appeal period was done. They dug everything out. We did not file an appeal, and the case is not over. So what I'm going to suggest to the Assembly is, because of the litigation posture in this case, because of these inconsistent rulings, that we need a code clarification. And it would probably be wise to bring forward a code clarification saying that shredded garbage, no matter what the use is, processing, storage, is something that needs a conditional use permit. Because what we have here is we have a court finding them guilty, and we have our BOAA saying it's not junk and trash. And I just explained the reasons why we did not appeal the BOAA ruling. And, you know, again, the manager was in on those discussions. And what it looks like is a tactical decision was made. They removed the material, and now they're going to go back. If they prevail in court saying that this is not junk, and the court turns around and follows the BOAA, they can show back up. And our hands, our options will be severely limited at that point. And it stems from a failure to appeal, which I was part of the discussion on that. Matt Subaru doesn't tend to kick litigants while they're down. We had won. They removed the stuff. There was no need to appeal. So that's where we are in that case. I know there's been a lot of questions, been in the newspaper, things of that nature.
Assemblymember Colbert.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through the mayor to the attorney, would an ordinance apply retroactively for that current litigation or in the future? How would that work?
Well, it would apply in the future, and the reason it wouldn't apply, the reason it can work applying in the future is there's nothing there now. They dug it all out. If that material hadn't been removed last week, Friday, we would have filed an appeal.
So you would have to do a 90-day referral to the Planning Commission, or they would have to start it there and
we
then
could
get
start
it here.
It there. Bring it here.
Okay. Thank you.
So, and then the... I think that's it.
Okay. Madam Clerk.
Mr. Mayor and members of the Assembly, your clerk's report is in your red folder. We're hoping that they will be in the Assembly chambers October 15th, but I heard recently that that might not be the case. So I'm hoping, but I will let you guys know as soon as I know. The Department of Emergency Services would like to schedule a joint meeting with the cities to do an incident command training for elected and senior officials. Would this be something the Assembly would like me to put together with the cities and schedule? And my recommendation is sometime in January.
Is there any objection to that?
What's the purpose?
It would be incident command training.
For elected officials?
For elected officials and senior officials, yes.
Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Yeah, so that's interesting. I mean, incident command is usually something that staff and professionals in the field are tasked with managing on behalf of the public. I'm not sure that elected officials, we wouldn't be weighing in on how to command an incident.
I'd have to refer to Mr. Brodigan. He knows about the training.
Mr. Brodigan.
Because I don't think Mr. Brodigan wants me there.
Through the mayor to the assembly, yes, we'd very much like you there. This is relatively painless. It's a two-hour overview of the incident command system, the emergency management system, just for your edification as a body. Obviously, the mayor and the borough manager play an active role in a disaster declaration, but there are other roles that elected officials can play, and again, it's a brief overview.
Mr. Mayor?
So, Mr. Arvin.
Thanks. So it's really for you to advise us on how you manage your program.
That, and it'll teach you a little bit about FEMA, Department of Homeland Security, and the system, the entire National Incident Management System, and the ins and outs. So,
and instead of doing one municipality at a time, they were hoping to gather all four at one time.
Thank you.
So there's no objection. Madam Clerk, find something in January.
Okay, one more thing, Mr. Mayor. The Department of Emergency Service has a management audit team in town. They would like to, they're doing personnel interviews, and they would like to include some assembly members. I've got two more slots open should any of the members be wanting to do that. You just let me know. I've got two and three on Thursday. And then also absentee voting has begun on began Monday. Turnout yesterday was pretty good for the first day, so we're hoping it continues.
You can tell the auditors they left the mayor out.
Oh, I'm sure they would like to include you too if you're interested, Mr. Okay. Mayor. And that would be it.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Moving on to citizen and other correspondence. IMs, none. Unfinished business. Let's take care of this before we take a break before the public hearings. Madam Clerk.
AM number 13123, awarded bid number 14016B to Western Construction and Equipment, LLC, for the contract amount of $2,180,753.10 for Caswell Lakes Road Upgrade. And, Mr. Mayor, to add to that, on page 113 of your packet is the proposed amendment from administration. The main motion is already on the floor on this piece.
Assemblymember Halter, do you want to make that amendment?
Yes. I'll move that amendment on page 113 as written, reducing it from $2,180,753,000 down to $1.6 million.
You want to give the exact number?
I don't have that exact number.
Mr. Mayor, I can read the amendment requested by administration should you want me to
sure,
do that.
Sure, go ahead.
It's just to strike $2,180,753.10 and insert in its place $1,663,420.95 throughout the legislation. It's also in the summary statement to strike the words along with additive alternates 1 and 2 and to replace the fiscal note.
Thank you. Is there discussion? Assemblymember Halter.
Well, yeah. I guess I'll ask that this be approved tonight, even though it's not very satisfactory. But I do want to read a letter of intent that was written by the Caswell Road Service Area Board, and I'll read it into the record because I don't have copies for the other assembly members. But it reads, the Caswell Lakes RSA 15 Board of Supervisors agreed at the September 10th, 2013 meeting to accept Western Construction's bid to complete Caswell Lakes Bond Project road improvements. The board gives authorization to move $14,000 from the fund balance from their fund balance to ensure that enough funds are available to award the contract, and also to move enough money from the budget plus any grant monies into a contingency fund to secure the contract. If materials from the DOT gravel pit located at the Parks Highway and Hidden Hills Road become available to lessen the cost of trucking, authorization is given to the Borough Public Works Department to renegotiate that portion of the bid. Then it's signed by Hank Olson, the two board supervisors. Both of them are here by tonight. And so I guess we'll ask for approval of this. We're very way short of monies needed to really fund the total project that was the voters voted on, which was a complete loop that would go. So basically we're not doing Bendapol and the two other roads at this point in time. I want to make sure that it's open, that alternate one and alternate two can be funded at a later date, sometime this winter, so that those roads could be constructed at least, so at some point in time we'd have to pave them or chip seal them the way the bond was actually written. And I guess there's going to be excess monies coming from a couple road bond projects that could be used up there. And one of them is right in my hometown of Willow. So I just want to make sure that we could do that at some point in time. Otherwise, I'd ask that you approve this tonight as amended.
Except that the amendment takes off the table any possible alternates. Would you want to adjust that?
Well, I talked to Mr. Jensen and Mr. Dolan, and I guess they'd bring something back to us that they feel like they could do it. I was kind of skeptical of that myself. I kind of wanted to stay in. But so maybe staff should give us a straightforward shot report on that.
Because if the language was there, it could be just done with a change order.
Right.
Through the mayor to the assembly, The amount of funds available will only cover the base bid. So we can't award more than what we have funds available. And we just can't do that. But what you said, Mayor, is correct. If funds do become available, I mean, these extra added alternates could be changed order back into the contract.
Okay. Any further discussion? Assemblymember Solomon.
Requested by the administration, bullet point number three is to replace the physical the note. So just, I'm sure you want
Thank
to...
Thank you, Assemblymember Solomon.
All right.
So, Madam Clerk, is there a change?
I did say, and when I stated it into the record, Mr. Mayor, I did say replace the fiscal note. I didn't say replace the fiscal debt note.
Oh, okay. So the amendment as read into the record still stands. I hear no objection, so the amendment passes. Brings us to the main motion as amended. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, it passes. And we'll break until 7:10. Can anybody hear me?
Yes, I'm coming.
Okay, we have a quorum in the room, if not at the table. And we're ready to start public hearings. There's no persons to be heard. So, Madam Clerk, Ordinance 13-118.
An ordinance accepting and appropriating $19,018 from the Alaska State Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management for the Borough Local Emergency Planning Committee Fund 480 Project Number 20259 for fiscal year 2014 operations with accompanying Resolution 13097, a resolution approving the scope of work and budget for the Alaska State Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management Grant Project Number 20259 Fund 480 for the Borough Local Emergency Planning Committee.
Has anybody signed up? Does anybody want to speak to that? Seeing and hearing none, we'll close the public hearing. Bring it back to Deputy Mayor Arvin.
Mr. Mayor, I move to adopt ordinance serial number 13-118 and resolution serial number 13-097.
Discussion? Objection? Hearing none, it passes. Ordinance 13-120.
An ordinance amending MSB 15240303B, adopting the All Hazards Mitigation Plan, Natural Hazards 2013 update.
This is a public hearing. Does anybody want to speak to this? Seeing and hearing none, we'll close the public hearing. Bring it back to Deputy Mayor Arvin.
Mr. Mayor, I move to adopt ordinance serial number 13-012.
Thank you. Discussion? Objection? Passes without objection. We're now ready for audience participation, and we will begin with Henry Olson, followed by Thomas Keller. Henry went home. Okay, Thomas Keller, followed by Butch Moore.
My name is Thomas Keller, and I'd like to speak to you about the two RSA contracts that are going to be voted on this evening. I guess you could say this has kind of become my passion over the last 2 years. Due to recent decisions made by the administration of the borough, it has manipulated the bidding pool that would have been able to bid on these contracts. It limited it down to two interested contractors, and the bids are astronomically high. $7,300 and $7,600 per mile. And this same contractor is successfully conducting road maintenance in the borough right now for $4,950 a mile in the very next RSA. Uh, this is completely unfair to the taxpayers. We should not have to pay time after time for mistakes made by the administration of the borough. And thankfully, our form of government has put in checks and balances. And the fact of the matter is, the manager and the administration have failed to protect the interest of the taxpayers. It is now up to you. You, the assembly, elected by the people, you are the guardians of the people's money. It is your obligation to make sure that the public money is spent wisely. Overpaying for a service unnecessarily is not wise. And if for some reason I'm unable to sway you to my point of view, once again, thankfully, our government has checks and balances. And I would ask that the mayor be the last line in the sand and protect the people's money. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Mr. Moore, followed by Joseph Mazut.
Mr. Mayor, Assembly members, my name is Butch Moore. Almost 2 weeks ago, I came before you to give you the status on the Susitna Pit 6 for the railroad. And Mr. Moosey and staff and I had worked through it. I've only, rather than tell you what I've been told, I've attached things that I have in writing from Cliff Williams at HDR Engineering. We have a verbal from Lloyd Malone of QAP that they intend to build one larger berm and do the road work and ditch clearing in lieu of the other berms. I've asked them to give it to us in writing. So what we worked out was rather than to make a 3,000-foot long berm, we'll make about a 250-foot little short berm, the 3,000-foot berm costing near $500,000 estimated by one of my contractors, and they'll improve the road. So we get it all done. It says, hey, gosh, we've received QAP's agreement. And Glenda Smith, borough staff, says, anyone want to attach that agreement? And has anyone told Mr. Moore? Brad Swartz, borough staff, I will get the agreement off to everyone by Friday this week for review. We want to attach it to the ordinance. So I didn't ever get a copy of the agreement, which doesn't really matter because Mr. Moosey directed Glenda to draft up the amendment, which was perfect. We got it. It's all done. We're going to not build this huge berm. We're going to do a little short berm. They're going to improve the road. Well, Glenda emails me and says, well, legal refused it. So I'm kind of thinking, now, why did legal refuse it? So I go to the code. Now, I've given you copies of all this documentation. But I read the code, and it talks about IMDs. And number three, the road and access plan shall include anticipated routes and traffic volumes and shall be approved by the director. And under number A underneath it says, road maintenance may be required by the permittee. Well, who would decide that? That would be the director. So then what we have is we have a letter, November 15, 2011, by Marion Romano, the director. And this letter was passed out to the public. It was at the Planning Commission. They made a presentation. We're asking the borough, or we're asking the railroad to improve the road. Said the Land Resources Management Division requests the railroad build, upgrade the borough to borough standards, 4,878 feet of Susitna Parkway Road. So, University of Alaska even sends a letter and says, gosh, what are you guys going to do with improving the road? And we send back, railroad's going to improve 5,000 feet. Somehow, and we did have five meetings if you look at the ordinance, somehow with the berms and the setbacks and all of this, the road got left out. So we didn't get a road. But the borough attorney through staff has told me that we cannot make an amendment to this ordinance. Only an ordinance can be changed with an ordinance. So that's why we're back here.
Yeah, I'll wrap it up.
Okay, thank you. What I would like is for the borough just to do what the borough says the borough is going to do. And the other thing is the last item on the agenda tonight is an amendment to a previous ordinance, which is the multifamily. That was within a month of my ordinance. But I was told by, through staff, that the borough attorney says an ordinance is an ordinance. You cannot change it unless you go back to planning and back to the assembly and have public hearings. I spent a lot of time on the multifamily, as did a lot of other people, and I would ask that the assembly honor the borough code and send that same change back through planning and the assembly so that you can get public comment. I don't know what the changes are. They're not in the package. They could be very significant. But I would like to resolve it with the manager. I think the manager's worked really hard to get a good resolution. And if QAP will do the road improvement and do the smaller berm, we should have a credit coming back. So I'm not asking the borough to spend any money. And I know Mr. Moosey's worked on it.
Yeah, we got your point.
Keep going.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Minot? Mazette? Mazut? And that's all that's signed up.
Hello, Mayor, Assembly. Thank you. My name is Joseph Mazut, M-A-Z-U-T. My wife and I run a company called Ready Recycles. We have been trying to work with the Recycle Center to bring top quality, separated, sorted before it even gets to the Recycle Center. I have looked at some information on how the center is supposed to be run. I have tried to make complaints with Molly and with the board. The board won't talk to me, and Molly you can't talk to. Okay? I have, we are trying to do proper bids, but we can't do proper bids if she says it has to be brought in this way, so we bring it in this way. Other people just bring it in all commingled and just drop it off that way. And I can't find a remedy on who do I go to? I can't go to Molly. I can't go to the board. I know you guys are getting ready to do a thing on the baler and an expansion on the roof of the drive-up window. Now, when you got 75% of the material coming in commingled, I guess the answer to that is just throw it all in, commingled, and let them sort it on the inside because they're doing it anyway. No, they got top quality material going into blown-in insulation like your office paper. She's not. I don't know who is responsible to make her do what she agreed to do. I'm looking at IM 11-26-264. She's supposed to bring it. It's supposed to be sorting and delivering materials. You know, she's supposed to be increasing the value of the materials, not decreasing. The material is severely decreased. She's wasting her time tearing up phone books while she's letting 60% of yard and a half sacks of office paper go into insulation versus sorting it out. The material looks like junk. She wastes her time on stuff she's got no value for, no way of selling it. She's sitting on approximately 35 tons of what are called sevens, the 1-7 clamshell plastics that's now sitting out there after sitting open in the rain, in the hot sun. It's not UV protected. It's decomposing. It's full of water and mold. It looks like a black mold that, if it goes down, could be a hazard. And I know that down in World 48, black mold, they tear houses down. What's that mold going to do when it gets down? It's not a quality material. She's wasted thousands, if not tens of thousands, and it's going to cost thousands to bury it. She was told
You need to wrap it up.
Nope. She was told back in February, I believe, that they were no longer going to take that material because of a green fence in China, who totally shut it off until at least a minimum, and that all other areas down in the lower 48 have been putting that Sevens materials in the landfill. I'm trying to find an answer how to make Molly do her job, because there doesn't seem to be an oversight on the recycle center. Thank you.
Thank you. Was there anybody else that wanted to speak?
Mayor DeVilbiss, assembly members, my name is Joyce Sipra. I'm the planning manager at Alaska Rim Engineering. I'm here today to represent the Youngs. And it's in regards to condition number PAM number 13-142, which is the vacation of a 70-foot right-of-way from of North Chickaloon Avenue, as shown on the plat of number 10-308. The reason why we do not want this right-of-way vacation approved is because the Youngs feel this access gives them one of the only real accesses to their property. When you look at the plat of what's called Lazy Mountain Acres, their lots 1 and 2 is right adjacent to this right-of-way that's proposed to be vacated. It appears that their lot 1 has lots of access to it, but in reality, Thor Avenue, which comes off of Robin Lane, is very steep and is impractical to construct. And then there's East Church, Chugach Street, and North Lazy Lane, which is about a 1,400-foot-long right-of-way that's not constructed. In order to construct this, they'd have to construct a driveway within this right-of-way to the property, and then they would have to maintain this 1,400-foot-long driveway throughout the winter. So they feel that neither of these accesses are viable. The vacation of the right-of-way of Chickaloon Avenue gives them a straight stretch right off of the Old Glen Highway to their property, and then they can construct a driveway through their property to their upper lot. So at this end, under the borough code 43-1.15-035, under vacations, it says the assembly shall not ordinarily approve vacations of public interest in land if the surrounding area in which the vacation is sought is undeveloped or is developing, and equal or better access is not provided. And the Youngs feel that the access to their property is not constructed, and that this access gives them the best it be pulled from the consent agenda and to not approve the vacation.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Mr. Mayor, Assembly, I just want to correct an earlier statement. There is $500,000 in your legislative priorities. I just missed it. So I just want to say good job.
Okay.
For phase one of Jake Wright Fire Station. If I'm wrong, I'll admit it. So
hey,
thank you.
We'll take apologies anytime. I don't see anybody else wanting to speak. So we will move on to the consent agenda. Assemblymember, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to pull Resolution B, Legislative Priorities.
Okay. Assemblymember Keel.
I'm pulling two items from the consent agenda, action memorandums. The first would be AM 13-142, item P, and the second would be 13-134, item I.
One, that's item I and item P.
Well, P we took Papa.
Oh, okay, that is still on the agenda. Assemblymember Halter. Okay. Assemblymember Colbert. Culligan.
I need to pull item K, AM number 13-136, and recuse myself from the discussion.
Okay. Okay, Madam Clerk, is there any objection to those? Oh, you can't object. Madam Clerk, do you want to deal with what's left of the consent agenda?
I sure will, Mr. Mayor. Resolution Sierra number 13098, a resolution amending the scope of work for project number 15040, fiscal year 2012 capital projects for Northern Parks upgrade and improvements. Resolution Sierra number 13100, a resolution directing the manager to obtain a new appraisal of the MV Susitna. AM number 13125, approval of change order number 2 to Tues Incorporated in the amount of $31,358.30. For unforeseen, unsuitable conditions for the Temper Twin and Reich Road Improvement Project, project number 30046, AM number 13127, award of proposal number 13141P to P&D Engineers Incorporated in the contract amount of $151,426 for the design of bridge number 2161 Oil Well Road over Croto Creek. AM number 13128, award of proposal number 14007P to Dow HKM in the contract amount of $216,278 for fish passage improvements at Oil Well Road off of Petersville Road near Talkeetna. AM number 13129, award of proposal number 14008P to Dow HKM in the contract amount of $217,836 for fish passage improvements at Sawyer Shady Street at Buddy Creek, Crystal Lake Road, Willow Creek Parkway near Shirley Lake Outlet, and Big Beaver Lake Road at Metal Creek. AM number 13130, vacation of 60-foot wide public use easement recorded December 30th, 1999 at book 1051, page 120, located along the east side of Lot 1, Cottrell South Subdivision, located in section 16, Township 17 North, Range 1 East, Seward Meridian. AM number 13131, approval of change order number 2 to WM Contracting in the amount of $18,390 to allow additional work due to unforeseen damage to the cross culvert needing to be replaced due to spring flooding in April 2013 for the Chickaloon Road Project, project number 30051. AM number 13132, awarded bid number 14029B to Valley General Construction LLC for the contract amount of $408,397 for Sutton Pathway, Glen Highway to Sutton Elementary School Project. AM number 13133, approval of amendment to original agreement with the Manuska Telephone Association in the amount of $62,471.99 due to unforeseen, unsuitable conditions for the Kymie Lane Road Improvement Project, project number 30042. AM number 13135, awarded bid number 14038B to J.A. Spain & Sons Incorporated for the contract amount of $145,046.16 for Alpine Road Service Area number 31, annual road maintenance. AM number 13137, award proposal number 14020P to HDR Alaska Incorporated in an amount not to exceed $265,435 for the Central Landfill Cell 2A Closure Engineering Design and Construction Management. AM number 13138, awarded bid number 14031B to GMC Contracting Incorporated for the contract amount of $1,395,454.07 for Kinnick River Road upgrades. AM number 13140, awarded bid number 14035B to Quality Sand and Gravel LLC in the contract amount of $153,504.50 to purchase winter sand. AM number 13141, awarded bid number 14035B to Northern Gravel and Trucking for the contract amount of $162,205 to purchase winter chips. AM number 13143, awarded bid number 14032B to Scarsella Brothers Incorporated in the contract amount of $5,308,558.05 for South Big Lake Road realignment. AM number 13144, awarded bid number 14001B to Pinnacle Construction Incorporated in the contract amount not to exceed $434,000 for Valley Community for Recycling Solutions Baylor purchase and install. and AM number 13145. Awarded bid number 14015B to Collins Construction Incorporated in the contract amount not to exceed $270,051.30 for supply and install of lockers at Houston Middle and Palmer Junior Middle Schools.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, I read the consent agenda as read into the record by the clerk.
You move it. Right.
I move it.
And there shouldn't be any objection. I don't. Assembly member. Oh.
We need to pause for a second.
You all right, Assembly Member Woods?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. I don't hear any objections, so the consent agenda is read in the record, is passed, and now Resolution 13099.
A resolution approving state legislative priorities for 2014.
Assembly Member Arvin, please move that.
Mr. Mayor, I move. I so move. And I'd like to speak to it.
You may.
So I'm not okay with this language regarding reserve funding for the Kinnickarm Bridge project dash support only. We've weighed in on this heavily over the last several years. We've spent time and treasure advocating and lobbying for that asset to be constructed. I would rather see some strong language in here whereby we remove support only. That diminishes, I think, our position in advocacy for that project. And I would move to reword that whereby we ask for, we support reserve funding for the Kinnickarm Bridge project as needed or as requested by Kubota or as established by the legislature. Support only I'm not okay with, and I think it just is a complete undermining of a significant project that has a large majority of support by the residents of the borough.
You want to give us an exact word?
Let's replace that with strongly support.
Support for full reserve funding.
I would support that language. Thank
okay.
you, Mr. Manager.
If I can just clarify for everybody, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
And to insert the word full before the word reserve, and it would read full reserve funding for the Kinnickarm Bridge project, striking support only.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Does everybody understand that? Mr. Manager, do you want to speak?
Yes, and staff put this together. Was not the intention to diminish that. We did not have a dollar amount, so we didn't put it in. You go down a little further on the list. We have statewide transportation improvement program. We also have support only instead of a dollar amount. So if you're doing that, if you could just strike support only from that bullet as well, that would be helpful. Because that was not our intention to diminish.
Well, the clerk wants to do this one at a time.
And, Mr. Manager, I appreciate that. That was my next target.
Okay. Is there objection? Assemblymember Keel.
Well, the question you asked, does everyone understand it? I don't understand it. What does full reserve funding mean precisely?
Assemblymember Arvin.
Well, as I know, it's not well understood. There's discussion last session about moving Kubota into Alaska Housing and Finance. There's discussion underway about the state paying for that project out of GF funds and not doing the 3P partnership to build it out. But as it sits right now today, Kubota's request, Kubota is intact. It is authorized by the legislature, and their request is for reserve funding as a stopgap to pay toll funds that run short during the first several years of operation as a loan, and that money will be paid back. What we know today is that request is for $150 million. But that is their charge. That is the legislature's action. I think our statement should be bold in that full funding, whatever they determine that to be, it's their mission, and leave that statement as it is. Full funding.
Okay, and clerk reminded me we intend this to cover the same language on the IM as well, just so everything's consistent. Senator Member Halter.
It's Mike.
Okay, yeah. So is there any objection to the motion on the table? Hearing none, that passes. Senator Member Halter.
Yeah, on the Bogart Road Extension East, $9 million, which I guess would be phase two according to the report we just had. I'd like to see that moved up to right after rail extension project. And the reason is we've been working on Bogart for, what is it, 12 or 15 years. And phase one is funded now. We can start construction next summer, according to Mr. Perkins. If that project was prioritized high, we may be able to go right into phase two and get that project done here in our lifetime. So I'd like to see that moved up right after rail extension project bullet.
Okay. Is there objection to that? Assemblymember Solomon?
Just to voice my objection, I don't think that road extension carries near the weight of any one of the first four. It may come in the moral equivalent of any one thereafter, but the first four in regards to the ramifications and value to the borough in its entirety far outweigh that road extension, and to put that up as a priority over the other three is kind of...
Is that a secondary amendment?
No, I just am voicing my objection to his motion to move it.
Oh, okay. Well, normally
really,
you put some teeth behind your...
I am. I wanted you to know why I'm objecting to it. It's
right.
Not as important as the other four.
You could have made a secondary amendment. Assemblymember Keough.
Well, I'm going to support Assemblymember Halter in this. I'm looking back at the 2011 legislative priorities when we initially requested, I'm not sure if it was the initial request, but $31 million. So this has long been near the very top of our legislative priorities list, and we're getting close. I mean, we've been grappling with this for several years. We need to finish the project, so I endorse Assemblyman Halter's position.
Okay. Are we? Assemblymember Culver.
I think Vern has made a good suggestion. We'll have a transportation corridor if we get that done, because with the new trunk road, it's going to really help our traffic out, especially getting out of from the east to the west portion of the borough. So I think it's a good amendment.
Assemblymember Culligan.
I just remind the body that, you know, this whole action tonight is limiting a book full of priorities down to a little bit more than a handful, and though I can appreciate number four versus number five, I think at the end of the day, just remind ourselves that these are all kind of the top 10 or so priorities, and when we get down to the legislature, we're always working at the moment of what the funding sources is, and sometimes number one isn't doable, but they're all important, so I hope we can move on. They're all important. We've narrowed down books of stuff to less than a page, and I think that was our intent.
Okay. There is objection, so Madam Clerk, would you take the vote on changing the priority of Bogart?
Assemblymember Culver. Yes. Assemblymember Culligan.
Yes.
Assemblymember Woods.
Yes.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yes.
Assemblymember Halter. Assemblymember Keough.
Yes.
Assemblymember Solomon.
No.
Mr. Mayor, the motion passed with Assemblymember Solomon opposed.
Thank you. Assemblymember Arvin.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Back to the third bullet on the second page, I'd move to delete the dash support only language regarding the STIP.
And did you want to insert full?
No.
No. Okay.
I don't.
Okay.
I think that's a program. The list is developed over years with TAB and a lot of other input, and the list is the list, and as priorities rank, they rank. So.
Okay.
Thanks.
We understand. Strike support only. Is there objection to that? Hearing none, that passes. Are we ready for the final question? Yeah, you want to speak?
Yeah, is Mr. Perkins still here, or maybe Brad? Or is the $60 million asked for the next piece of the rail? Where does that fit with the ballast and the ties and the rail? I know the embankment's fully funded. How far does the $60 million get us with the wheels on the rail?
Mr. Manager?
Yes. Since Brad's here, why don't you give it give me information?
Let me turn on your mic. Okay.
The $60 million won't fund the entire rest of the project, but it will take us past, it'll fund phase two, I believe, plus it'll give us probably a portion of phase seven, which is some of the rail and some of the ballast. So it won't get us all the way, but it'll get us very close.
So to be clear, the $60 million will finish in its entirety the embankment and part of the ballast, or probably part of the ballast.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. So my question is, does this finish our legislative priority? Because it seemed like we had a couple other things hanging out there. Is everybody satisfied? I guess so. So Assemblymember Culligan?
So again, you know, typically the process has been we help roll out our priorities, narrow down our books of information to this list. Then we also get with the cities, and they have their list, and we meet with the legislators before session. Legislators give us feedback of what may or may not be possible, and we refine our list and our dialogue before or as the legislative session is going on. So this is a preliminary list we're making tonight in my mind, and it's time to move ahead.
I guess one of the things I was thinking about was the possibly matching the extra money that we sent to our road service areas. Do we want to do that outside of this list?
I don't think that's in this motion anywhere, sir.
It isn't.
So
this motion is amendable.
Vote on this motion.
Okay. Assemblymember Halter.
Could you repeat that for me, please?
When we reformulated the formula for the licensing money and put extra money out to the road service areas, was with the suggestion that we would try to use that to bring matching money from Juneau for road improvements. And no, it's not to say we can't, but if it was stipulated in our priorities, it would be a little easier to do. So, if there's no further discussion, is there any objection to our priority list? Seeing and hearing none, it passes. And that moves us then to AM 13-134,
award a bid number 14037B to J.A. Spains & Sons Incorporated for the contract amount of $103,420.60 for Lazy Mountain Road Service Area Number 19, annual road maintenance.
Who pulled this?
Assemblymember Keogh.
Okay, Assemblymember Keogh, do you want to move that?
I move AM number 13-134.
Okay, you want to speak to it?
Yes, I do. For several reasons here. This is, as you recall, last in June, we had some rather contentious discussions on awarding bids to five or six road service areas. On two of those, and there was a split vote on every award contract, on two, in two instances, we voted by a 3-4 vote not to award the road contract to Norse for both the Lazy Mountain Road Service Area and for the Alpine Road Service Area. The rationale for that, or my rationale, was that to allow some of the smaller operators into the bid award process for various reasons. There were, anyway, there was a long history there. So that happened. So now they were re-advertised. New bids have come in, but ironically, instead of finding lower bids, the low bids are now higher than the bids, the initial bids. So this has gone the wrong way. The smaller players didn't even bother to submit bids on this. So I guess I'm doing this just to air this out publicly. There has been one of the reasons for the bids, or a couple of reasons for the increase in the low bids, who have now, the Spain and Sons are the low bidders for both of these road service area contracts now, are one, we now have a mandated performance bond in these contracts and probably in all forthcoming road service area contracts. And two, there were some other additions to the contract, including brush cutting, which was not included in it. So the options are now we either award this to Spain or we deny the award contract, in which currently Norse Copperrood has a continuing contract from the 1st of July to keep maintaining the road service areas, or I'm not sure what the other alternative is that we can deny it and rebid it yet again, which even though some have suggested that might be the best thing to do, I'm not sure that is. Some people have suggested that I not even pull this from the agenda. I know it's been a contentious issue for just about everybody involved, and I think I've managed to irritate just about everybody that has anything to do with this matter. So that's the one thing I've been successful at in this effort. However, I pulled it for the purposes of kind of airing this out a little bit publicly, but it seems to me the best alternative at this point is to go ahead and, unhappily from my perspective, go ahead and award the contract to Spain and Sons. So that's my position and decision on this.
Okay. Mr. Arvin?
Well, I guess the history lesson is we were asked by the bidding community to set a box around the requirements whereby they are found to be responsible and responsive, and to remove subjectivity from the evaluation. Procurement added the requirement that the offers must provide payment performance bond. Obviously, that's going to add more to the contract, but it removes the subjectivity, which was the argument that we were grappling with some months ago. The bids are going to be higher, presumably because of that, and I think we should award the contract and move on.
Mr. Manager, could I request at our next meeting we have a report on the history of bonding requirements, because it's come and gone in the past, and it's generally had the same effect on our bids. And I think we need to establish a consistent policy on that.
Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember Colvert.
Thank you. Since you brought up that topic, I won't go too far astray here, but it has been troubling about, I'll give you one instance, our new chambers and headquarters. What's our liquidated damages provisions on borough contracts and our performance requirements, bonding, i.e.? I have a number of road service upgrades in District 6, Gold Trails road service area. They're way, way behind schedule. And I see us awarding contracts tonight to the same firm. And so if we're going to have that discussion, I'd like to bring those issues out as well, as far as what is our policy on these road upgrades, or what are we requiring as far as bonding and liquidated damages, and bring that up as well. Thank you.
Okay. let's get back on the agenda. Is there any objection to this? Assemblymember Halter.
Well, it seems like on this, it seems like, you know, the borough staff followed the rules even the first time when we pulled it off of here and shot down the original two bids, which were considerably less than this, and this gentleman here was complaining about the cost of these bids, and he was at that other meeting saying he wanted those pulled, which now we raised the price. I just think we should not tinker with some of these quite as much as we do. To me, we need qualified bidders that have a proven record, have a business license, have a bonding capability, and probably have a track record. That's probably the best thing for the road service areas in the borough. And this, if you don't get the bid to come in and kind of complain and stuff and get the assembly to go behind the backs of staff, I just think is a folly. And you can see it happened here.
Assemblymember Keogh.
Just one more comment, and I know this isn't the outcome that Mr. Keller wanted this, but I wanted to publicly thank him for going to the effort to putting together a spreadsheet, among other things, that's that very clearly illustrates what has happened to our road service area contract cost for every road service area in the borough since 2009. And the increases are dramatic. In every road service area, save two, we've had increases in the last, from between 2009 and 2013, in some instances, in the Alpine Road Service Area, have gone up 65%. In the North Colony Road Service Area, 77%. In the Lazy Mountain Area, 49%. Others of them are typically in the 20s%. Butte, 40%. So the point is, these costs have risen dramatically, and especially with the awarding of the contracts in the. Those contracts awarded in the year 2013. And just a final comment, too. What happens is, in some of these less populated, smaller road service areas where we already have extraordinarily high mill rates in these road service areas, the reserve funds have dwindled to just about nothing. So it's perhaps small thanks, but thank you, Mr. Keller, for putting the spreadsheet together.
I don't think everybody has that, so could you see that it gets around?
I will give it to the clerk for her distribution to everyone tomorrow. It's rather dramatic numbers.
Thank you. Okay. Assemblymember Culligan.
I raised my hand earlier, but I am going to be opposed to this just as a pure fact. I don't think that the dramatic increase in costs are justified, and that the same contractors seem to be doing the same work in other adjacent service areas for significantly less, and just can't bring myself to support that tonight. So thanks.
Okay, we do have objections. So, Madam Clerk, would you take the vote?
Assemblymember Culligan.
No.
Assemblymember Woods.
No.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yes.
Assemblymember Halter.
Yes.
Assemblymember Keogh.
Yes.
Assemblymember Solomon.
No.
Assemblymember Culver.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, it passed with Assemblymembers Culligan, Woods, and Solomon opposed.
Okay. AM 13136, and Assemblymember Culligan, do you want to state your recusal?
One of my companies has done work for more than one of these proposers, not related to phone systems and the like, but I just need to recuse myself. Thank you.
Thank you. I will accept that. Mr. Arvin. Oh, Madam Clerk, read it into the...
Award of proposal number 13122P to Alcantel in the contract amount not to exceed $653,500 for the Matsu Borough telephone system replacement.
Mr. Arvin.
Mr. Mayor, I move AM number 13-136 and would like to speak to it.
You may.
You know, we've had a lot of discussion about this and, you know, IT initiatives in general. This probably is not the perfect award. I think there's probably some warts with it, but this is something we need to move on with. And, you know, as I know, it was pulled so Mr. Culligan could recuse himself, but I support this.
Yeah, I do too. I lose, I don't know how many calls a day that come out of the borough building because there's one phone number on every call that comes out of 200 phones, and nobody knows who it is when you call back. It's pretty primitive. Okay, so is there any objection to this? Seeing and hearing none, it passes. Assemblymember Culligan may return, and Madam Clerk, AM 13142.
Vacation of a 70-foot-wide right-of-way of North Chickaloon Avenue is shown on plat number 10308, located between Lot 8, Block 3, and Lot 10, Block 2, CC Brick Subdivision, located in Section 34, Township 18 North, Range 2 East, Seward Meridian.
Okay. Assemblymember Keogh, do you want to put that on the table?
I move AM number 13-142, and I would like to speak to that.
You may.
Before I do, a question through the mayor to the attorney. Or let me preface that first. It was my hope that this item would be postponed to the following meeting, but I guess I request the attorney to give us a brief explanation how that may be problematic. My hope was that we could address this at the next meeting when there's more information available. But if we wait until the next meeting, what happens, Mr. Attorney?
Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, under state law, specifically 294140, the Borough Assembly has 30 days to act for a vacation. What happens here is this goes to the platting board, and the platting board makes a determination. And if they determine that the title to the property can be vacated, that is the borough's interest in the road go away, state law gives the Borough Assembly 30 days to veto that action. So the action you would be taking here would be legislative in nature. It's not quasi-judicial, because what you're doing is you're basically saying somebody's come forth to the borough and said, look, the public owns this property. We want the public to give up its right of ownership in this strip of land that we're calling a right-of-way. And so ultimately, like any other form of public ownership, the Borough Assembly has the last say. But by state law, you only have 30 days to make this determination. And from my understanding, the Platting Board made this decision on September 9th, and there is no meeting until mid-October. So if it's not acted on tonight, it will be deemed approved.
And just
Mr. Keogh?
Another quick follow-up question before I speak to it, and that is... I've reviewed the code on this, and it appears that this is a little bit different than typical platting board actions. A vacation of a public right-of-way is totally under the purview of the assembly versus other instances where if someone wants to appeal a platting board decision, they would typically go before the Board of Adjustments and Appeals. Is that correct?
That's correct, because this is not, a quasi-judicial determination. So in other words, you're not adjudicating the rights or responsibilities of anybody or issuing a permit. This is more akin to a land management decision or a public interest decision where the Borough Assembly is basically deciding, does the public want to give up its interest in this road or not? So it's really a land decision.
So if I could now address it briefly with that background. Thank you, Mr. Attorney.
You may.
The last speaker during audience participation is an engineer with Alaska Engineering, and she gave a brief overview. So if I could direct you to a bit of correspondence that they generated just today and have the clerk hand that out, which kind of reiterates the points that she made verbally. But on page 340 of the packet, there shows there's an illustration of the land in question. So the small rectangle in the towards the middle of the page shows the proposed vacation. The applicant for the vacation, Mr. Holm, owns the two adjacent properties to the left and the right of the requested vacation. The individuals opposing this vacation own lots 1 and 2 to the north. They oppose this vacation because this is the single best route of access to their property. Even though there is a legal right-of-way to these lots up in the northeast corner by North Thor Avenue, that's at a steep enough grade where it's not physically possible to construct a road. The other point of access is each Chugach Street. To use that to access their property would require approximately 1,400 feet of constructed road, so they could access their property via East Chugach Street, up Lazy Mountain Drive to Clark Wolverine Road, since Robin Lane doesn't go through, and make a rather circuitous couple-mile drive to get back on the Glen Highway. So the owners of lots 1 and 2 have a engineering firm under their employment, it appears it's their conclusion that even though there is a significant grade to this, it's easily doable and less expensive to construct access to their property along the existing North Chickaloon Drive right-of-way here. So in light of not being able to postpone this so we can get a closer look at this and better address it next meeting, since it would automatically pass, I would ask that we deny this application, and if the applicant wishes to further that would not prohibit the applicant from applying once again for this, but it would certainly allow time for a more thorough assessment of whether or not to vacate this. So therefore I would urge you to deny the this application to vacate.
So you've heard the opposition to the motion on the table. I'm quite familiar with Lazy Mountain, and I for the life of me can't figure out where this is.
This is just off the Old Glen Highway, just a short distance, not too far beyond the Matanuska River Bridge. If you look on the diagram on page 340, it shows the Old Glen Highway with a rather irregular width in the right-of-way as it goes along.
Yeah, I'm looking at that. So this Lazy Mountain Drive, is that the original roadbed of the Lazy Clark Wolverine Road?
The existing roadway, is my understanding from East Clark Wolverine Road, where it makes a 90-degree turn there, extends a short distance down, short distance to the south, but does not go through to East Chugach Way by a long ways. Also, East Robin Lane does not extend all the way west to Lazy Mountain Drive.
Okay, I got it now. And you're suggesting that going from there up to Wolverine Road is a feasible easement?
I'm saying it's not. The cost to the landowners of lots 1 and 2 would be extraordinarily high for them to clear the timber along the existing Chugach Street right-of-way, construct a road of approximately 1,400 feet long, as compared to their primary and best access to their property, which is through this the existing right-of-way on the south side of their property.
Isn't that what the vacation provides?
If we vacate the property, that eliminates the opportunity for them to access their property there. Is that
Oh, okay. Okay, Assemblymember Colbert.
Well, thanks for the good debate on where it was. It would be very helpful if staff would overlay the map on the aerial photography we paid dearly for. And we do have some other exhibits in our packet that show that, and then we'd know right where it was at. So if we, in the future, Mr. Manager, if we could be provided with use of our LIDAR, it would be very helpful. I'm, too, going to object to the approval of this vacation. Now, one of the key things the Platting Board weighs when they vacations aren't routinely approved, but there typically has to be non-objection, okay? And the minutes state that there was not any public objection. There was no objection. But we have heard objection here tonight. Maybe it took a little while for the owners to catch up to what was happening, the affected parties. And so they voiced their objection here before us. The lay of the land is important. I think the mayor's familiar with Robin Lane, a very steep road, and that would be their access if this vacation was approved. And I know that that's a bear of a road to maintain and very steep and can be icy and whatnot. So for those reasons, I don't think it's in the public's interest that we approve this vacation.
Okay. Further discussion? Assemblymember Keogh.
Just one corrective comment. There was an objection at the time of the Platting Board hearing by the owners of the adjacent property. It's on page 338, item number 3, findings for the preliminary plat.
Okay. Okay, we've had objection. Madam Clerk, would you take the vote?
Assemblymember Woods.
No.
Assemblymember Arvin.
No.
Assemblymember Halter.
Yes.
Assemblymember Keogh.
No.
Assemblymember Salmon.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culver.
No.
Assemblymember Culligan.
No.
Mr. Mayor, the motion failed with Assemblymember Halter and Salmon in support.
Okay. That takes care of our consent agenda. Are you ready for introductions, Madam Clerk?
Yes, I am, Mr. Mayor. 1 second. Introduction for public hearing on October 15th is Ordinance Serial Number 13-121 with accompanying Resolution 13101, Ordinance Serial Number 13122 with accompanying Resolution 13102, Ordinance 13123 with accompanying Resolution 13103, Ordinance 13124 with accompanying Resolution 13104, Ordinance 13125 with accompanying Resolution 13105, Ordinance 13126 with accompanying Resolution 13106, Ordinance 13127 with accompanying Resolution 13107, Ordinance Serial Number 13128, Ordinance 13129, Ordinance 13130, Ordinance 13131 with accompanying Resolution 13108.
Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, I move to introduce the legislation as read into the record by the clerk and set the public hearings for October 15, 2013.
Is there objection? Hearing none, we have our next meeting's business. What's your pleasure? You want a break or do you want to go for the end? Okay. Let's take five this time. So we'll be back here at 8:20. Okay. Come back to order, and next on the agenda is the vacancy report. Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, I move to confirm your recommendations up for confirmation as follows: Health and Social Services Board, Joan Tower. CNIC RSA number 17, resignation of Joy Fern Condon. Meadow Lakes RSA number 27, Patricia Winajar. I'm not sure how to pronounce that last name.
Okay. Is there a discussion? Any objections? Thank you. That passes. And now a reconsideration.
Motion to amend.
Something previously adopted, Madam Clerk.
Ordinance Zero Number 12-169, an ordinance amending MSB 1773 Multifamily Development Design Standards and MSB 1712-5010 definitions.
Do you want to speak to the issue that's been raised earlier tonight about amending an ordinance without a new ordinance? Or maybe the attorney wants to speak to that.
I don't know who Mr. Moore is talking to, but whoever told him they had a conversation with me over his ordinance was incorrect. So I don't know what he's referencing when he says, well, I heard through staff that the attorney said, whatever staff member told him I said something regarding his ordinance is incorrect. I didn't see his ordinance till it came through, and you now have a copy of what I initially wrote on it.
Right, but the point is we can't amend an ordinance without a new ordinance or amend code without one of his points tonight was the fact that we are here amending an ordinance without going through the process of introducing a new ordinance.
Right.
And he wants to know why that couldn't have been done to his.
Nobody's ever asked me that question before. I'd have to look back at his ordinance.
Maybe I misunderstood what he was asking.
That could be what he's asking.
Mr. Manager.
Okay. Essentially, what has happened is when we originally approved the resolution, I'm going to call it referring to Mr. Moore's resolution, it was to put in a berm area across his entire property.
That's really out of order.
Okay.
Going. The issue was a technical issue about
Mr. Moore does not want to amend the ordinance. He wants to have his full agreement in the ordinance, which the attorney says you can't make road deals inside an ordinance. That's not appropriate. That is what's happening.
Okay. Well, that does answer the issue. Assemblymember Solomon.
It doesn't answer the issue for me because, to me, the issue is he read a code, whether or not I didn't read the code, but he read from reputedly the code that says an ordinance cannot be amended after having been passed and made law without having it sent back as a new ordinance. So that's the question before us. Was that statement true or not true, and in spite of and irregardless of Mr. Moore's position, is that code? And if it is true, then clearly we can't address this under the format from which it's presented to us tonight. So that's the question. Was Mr. Moore reading from a bona fide code, or did he make that up?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Solomon. You asked my question for me again, Mr. Attorney, and Madam Clerk.
There is no code specifying. An ordinance can only be amended by intro and following another ordinance. The code specifies that we use Robert's rules, and as you know, ordinance has been amended, just like the multifamily, on reconsideration. We've had other ordinances, again, as is before you tonight, through Assemblymember Culver on motion to amend something previously adopted. Obviously, the standard way of bringing forward an ordinance is to intro it, set it for public hearing, but it's up to the maker of the motion and it's up to the elected body. There is no code saying that is the only way it can be done.
Madam Clerk, do you want to speak to that?
Yeah, to the Assembly and Mayor, I did have a conversation with Mr. Moore today, and I did let him know what we usually do with the guidelines. However, I did tell him when he asked why it wasn't his done, under a motion to amend something previously adopted, and I let Mr. Moore know that an assembly member would have had to ask for that, and nobody at this point has.
Okay, that's helpful. Assemblymember Keough.
Well, this brings up a question of process while we're on this topic then. So at what point is it no longer appropriate to bring something back to amend an ordinance previously adopted? I mean, we're looking at something a couple of months old. At what point does it become stale and we should not do this, or can we do this, come back 2 years after we pass an ordinance and move to amend something we previously adopted? What say you, Madam Clerk or Mr. Attorney?
Madam Clerk.
To Assemblymember Keough, as I noted before a couple months ago, I would recommend not going past 3 months. There's no cut and clear time frame on that. So, you know, that's ultimately up to this body.
Mr. Keough, you probably use that more than anybody else, so now you know how far you can stretch it.
It won't stretch longer than 28 days.
That's true, very true. So whoever wanted to make an amendment here should get to work. Mr. Colbert.
Well, thank you. Appreciate the discussion of the standing of what we have amended something previously adopted. Now, the reason we're here today is it took a doggone long time to figure out what we did. Your 28 days, that's a good first light comment I've heard out of you, Warren, tonight. So don't be so serious. I was under the understanding that what we adopted under, we did reconsider this thing, we worked on this ordinance for quite some time, that it was any structure more than 6 units would require a permit. Apparently, what I found out is after we passed it, that the staff interpretation of what we passed was that it only applied to a one-acre lot, that a one-acre lot, anything over 6 units, require a permit on a one-acre lot, that a larger lot would then apply a formula which equals 6 units per acre. So if it was 20 acres, it would be 120 units, 40 acres, 240 units, and that is how planning interpreted it. And it was kind of hard to get it explained. So then I asked the clerk, can you go back? I don't think that's what we did. What do you come up with? And Lonnie did the research and ended up punting it to Nick, and Nick then took a while, and we finally had the answer, and that's why it's here tonight. That, and you might tell him, Nick, what you found was that the 6 only applies to the 1 acre lots, that it doesn't apply to the bigger lots. And that was what I think we had a general consensus on of what we were doing, that 6 was the number, regardless of the lot size. And so there's an amendment before you that would do that. And I'd ask the attorney to maybe tell us the process that he had to go through to figure out what we did, because we did do a lot of amendments, and then we did a reconsideration, and we passed more amendments, and some stuff probably got pulled out, and some got left in, and that's what we have.
Okay.
So I would move this amendment that I've prepared to, that the attorney's prepared for me, to go back to the any dwelling over 6 units requires a permit.
Can you read it into the record, please?
I move to amend ordinance serial number 12-169 to insert a new provision into 17.73.040 to reestablish an overall threshold above which a multifamily conditional use permit is required. Therefore, I move to amend MSB 17.73.040 to insert the word or after subsection A1 and add a new section A2 to read as follows. Or, 2, any development exceeding 6 dwelling units, regardless of lot size. And the new code section, subsection A, will read an or after A1 to then add number 2, any development exceeding 6 dwelling units, regardless of lot size, and renumber that section. And then I would punt it to Nick to kind of explain what he had to go through to figure out what we did, and that is before you. Because I thought that's what we did, and I don't know what the recollection of the rest of the members is, but...
Well, we'll soon find out. And that's really what counts right now, because whatever the attorney figured out, I'm not sure we need all the history on it.
That's what I was going to say, Mr. Mayor. Members of the Assembly, if you want me to go run through it, I did prepare a PowerPoint. I've got a little handout here you can kind of follow along with. If you want all that, I'm certainly ready to give it to you, but... Somebody member Culver is right. There was what I would call an absolute threshold above which it doesn't matter how big or small your lot is. If you have above that many, you need a permit. And that was taken out of code through the amendments.
Okay. I think that's all we need to know. What's important now is, does this reflect your intent and your interest? There's an amendment on the floor. Assembly member Salmon.
I got to admit, I was dissatisfied with the previous, so I'm going to be dissatisfied with this, and since it's back before us, I'll speak to it quickly and simply and expect to get beaten down over it, but the point of the multifamily ordinance change, what this does is effectively ban, I'll even say the word, all site condos. There can never be a site condo built in the Matsu Borough without the approval and gratis of the planning department and the graciousness of them to grant the permit. Part of the restructuring of the multifamily ordinance was to remove the language to prevent site condominiums, which are very beneficial if you follow the rules. We put in Mr. Halter's substandard housing, so it isn't like you can have more substandard houses on a bigger lot. Everything that would be built on that lot would have to fall under the guidelines of housing in the real and practical sense of the matter. What this does is eliminate the ability to build site condos, and the people who prompted me and helped me create this ordinance are very discouraged. But we'd already lost that in terms of the interpretation, so I'm going to vote no.
Thank you for your conciseness. Is there further discussion on the amendment? There has been objection. Doesn't Assemblymember Culligan.
I was just going to mention, so my recollection was more of a density, and if we are going to propose this, I would rather that it was had a little bit more public notification and people had the opportunity to weigh in, and I'm going to be voting no for tonight.
Okay. Madam Assemblymember Woods.
This seems to increase the density of what we call felony flats, as much as six of those buildings on 1 acre, which is not acceptable in my imagination. So, thank you.
Actually, I think it's just the opposite. This will only allow you six, even if you got 100 acres, with the amendment. I just want you, it's my job to make sure you understand. It allows six on 1 acre. It allows six on 100 acres if it's one lot. Assemblymember Culver.
Well, just to clarify, Member Woods, so if you vote no, you're going to open the door for much more than a felony flats. So if there's 40 acres next to your 1 acre, you can take six units per acre without a permit, so you could have up to 240 units under the code as it's interpreted now. This puts it back to where we thought we had it at six or above. You just come in for the permit. It doesn't ban site condos, because when you're talking about site condos, you got to deal with fire trucks and those kind of things, and six aren't going to pay off. You're going to need 12, 14, 18 units to pay for that infrastructure. But typically the market's probably more in the fourplex. I've heard condos are hard to finance right now, but the felony flats we did as substandard, which didn't have water and sewer, didn't have foundation, and that's covered. This is more of a large development that will have surrounding impacts that is basically unregulated at this time, and it's my thinking that it was an oversight by the assembly, or we didn't know what we were doing when it was brought back up again. So, you know, if you want to change the threshold to what you think a site condo or a condo minimum would be 12, but when you start having intensive land use, you're going to have issues, water, sewer, fire control. And these are the kind of things I think that, you know, people are going to want to comment on. And, in fact, there's no reason why I couldn't take your 40 and make 41 acre lots and have six on each one. And that's what you could do under the existing code. But we at least would have, if it was going to be a large development, we'd have a notification and a permit process, and we'd have adequate review of public health and safety as far as fire and whatnot. So,
okay, I think we all understand. Assemblymember Halter.
Well, I guess I'm kind of struggling with 2 and 3. And 3 seems to cover substandard dwellings. And I guess my question would be to the attorney or staff. Does number 3 clearly take care of a situation like we're always talking about out in Pittman and Felony Flats? Or does number 2 need to read any substandard development exceeding 6 dwelling units as an amendment?
Mr. Through the Mayor, to Assemblymember Halter, members of the Assembly, number 3... if this amendment passes, is currently number 2, would become number 3. That addresses the substandard housing. That's unaffected by this. So for substandard, it's either 1 per 40,000 square feet or anything over 2, regardless of lot size. So if you want to put 2 substandard dwellings on 160 acres, you want to put 3, you need a permit. So regardless of lot size for the substandard. And I think in talking to Assemblymember Culver, he was saying that that same absolute threshold applied to the regular, which it does not. That was an amendment that was moved, voted on. The absolute 6 per, regardless of lot size, was taken out for the regular. But for the substandard, it's still there.
Okay. Assemblymember Culligan.
I propose we postpone this to a date certain that Mr. Culver thinks he can come back with some adequate time to get responses from the public and other folks that this affects, and have each one of us reflect on what we intended when we voted on thing. Otherwise, it's no for me.
So would you want that to go back through the process, Planning Commission?
I don't know if he needs to go back through the Planning Commission. I'd like to talk to the Planning Board and others myself. And hear a comment. I don't know that we need to go back through 90 days, but I would like some discussion before. Otherwise, my answer at the moment is just no.
So I'm going to take your motion as a motion to postpone and direct it back to the Planning Commission.
That would be fine with me.
It wouldn't need a date then, would it? Not to exceed 90 days.
Okay,
there's a motion to postpone and direct to the Planning Commission to come back to us no later than 90 days. Is there objection?
Yes.
There is objection. Madam Clerk.
Assemblymember Arvin.
No.
Assemblymember Halter. Assemblymember Keough.
No.
Assemblymember Salmon.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culver.
No.
Assemblymember Culligan.
Yes.
Assemblymember Woods.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, it passed with Assemblymember Arvin, Keough, and Culver opposed.
Okay. We are ready for comments.
Correction, prior to comments, we have executive session scheduled for the ferry.
Executive session is after comments.
Okay, my apologies. Thank you.
Okay. So, Mr. Manager, did you have further comments? Mr. Attorney, closing comments? Madam Clerk?
No, Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember Culbert? Assemblymember Culligan?
Yes. a couple comments. One is I'd like to discuss the Mr. Moore gravel pit berm gymnastics that we're going through. We've turned a simple discussion and agreement into a hairball here, and seem to be entering into legal gymnastics and planning exercises when the reality is, I think we all know we agreed to a certain parameters when issuing the permit, and staff or others or management didn't exact, I think, what the intent was, and now we're arguing over legal, statistical processes, bureaucratic processes on something that should have been a simple process where we were looking to protect property owners at the time from gravel operations while getting a project inexpensive gravel, while in offset of that improving the road access into that gravel pit. And I think Mr. Moore has some valid complaints and concerns. While his intensity may not be appealing, I think it is a simple agreement, and I'd like the manager and whoever to figure out how we fulfill what our original agreement was and get it done and stop wrestling and toiling and having these discussions. And it may not be that straightforward, but I think our intent was fairly straightforward, and now it's getting mired down in a bunch of complexity. My second comment for the night, even though I recuse myself from the voice over IP contract, I voiced my opinion to them earlier today that the procurement process in that instance is the equivalent of a design build contract that we don't want to have or are discouraging in our other construction type projects, where we have professional technical staff on staff that should know the specifications of a phone system and have a competitive bid, not a request for information and a bunch of apples and oranges comparison. And I hope that in the future, I've tried to make that clear that that wasn't a process that I thought served the public well. And more so, the original contract was expanded by $150,000 for additional work that definitely wasn't part of the RFP and wasn't competed. So I hope that there'll be some notes taken and those actions will be adjusted in the future. Thank you.
Assemblymember Woods.
Could I ask the attorney if the assembly has the authority to honor the way that Mr. Moore presents his road area through that earlier agreement?
Mr. Attorney?
So, Mr. Mayor, Member Woods, members of the Assembly, Mr. Moore wants a road built. The borough can agree to build a road, but that doesn't mean that you make it a part of a zoning ordinance. When you do an IMD, you are passing a zoning ordinance. So you're setting terms and conditions of a zone. So if we had Euclidean zoning and you said, oh, this was going to be a single-family residential zone, or you tell some local operator, yes, you can go mine gravel and this is your zone for mining district, you don't then turn around and say, and oh, by the way, the borough's going to build a road a mile long. That's not appropriate in a zoning ordinance. And that was the only point. I don't know where Mr. Moore is getting his information from. And it's a convenient excuse to throw law under the bus. We get it all the time. Oh, no, the lawyer said blah, blah, blah. You just don't put it in a zoning ordinance. I've had this discussed with the manager. I think he's on top of it already in terms of coming up with, and then he even referenced tonight an agreement, some agreement that was supposed to be in the works. You can do it via agreement. You can build the road via just issuing a contract and going to do it. But to put it as a zoning ordinance, part of the IMD ordinance that specifies you can extract gravel isn't enforceable. It's not legal. You don't do that. So that's why that came out.
Assemblymember Culligan.
So to that point, I'm sorry to be at it again. when we originally did this, if access to that gravel pit was required via that road and that road was specified to be upgraded to access that gravel, deliver that gravel, put up a berm, would not that access to that gravel pit is the borough's responsibility? And the question isn't where we are now. How would we have gotten there if that was the original intent, was to improve the road and the access to the gravel pit for the contractor and provide some berm?
Mr. Attorney?
You upgrade the road like you build any other road. Manager issues a contract, comes before the assembly for award. Doesn't require any assembly approval up front, doesn't require anything. It requires a funding source. You have money? Yes. You got free gravel? You got a contractor out there? Okay, come before the assembly for award if it's over $100,000. It's under $100,000, you simply do it. In terms of the berm, that's a buffering mechanism found within a zoning ordinance. The other thing that's contained within this particular zoning ordinance, it says, in consideration for reducing the berm, which sounds like the borough assembly is going to pass a zoning ordinance that's a contract with a single individual landowner, which then makes it spot zoning, which is illegal.
Okay, so but in our agreements, in the negotiations with the landowner and issuing the permit, the road access and upgrade was part of that. It was supposed to be part of our contract with whoever managing the gravel pit. Is that correct? I mean, that was my assumption anyway, sitting around the table when we issued that, is that the access road would be improved, whether it's via zoning or the manager directing that to happen. It was left off the contract with the awarded contractor. Otherwise, I think the borough should build $1 million flip and berm and stick to the contract, right?
If you don't amend the ordinance, the borough has to build the berm.
I look forward to seeing the wall.
Mr. Manager, do you have words yet? We are trying to get to that. We have been working towards that. The challenges has been Mr. Moore is insistent that this is codified in an ordinance, and because it can't be, there's some consternation that, well, what guarantee now if you do not build that entire length of berm, what guarantee do I have the borough is going to come back and do that? The second thing was his insistence that the road improvement meets all borough standards. The problem with that is the road is going to be in great shape. It's going to be better than many of the roads down in that area. The problem is we have right-of-way issues. We have elevation issues. We have curvature issues. And to straighten out that road, put it on the right-of-way, and reduce hills and that sort of thing, is going to far exceed. There'll be a much better road out there because of this. We're negotiating on that. The problem is the insistence of Mr. Moore to do that within the parameters. We want the borough staff, the borough desires to have an upgraded road, Susitna Parkway, because we're going to use it to the road to resources. It's very important. But to leverage, we can only leverage the contract so much with the value. It's our intention to improve that road. It's just the parameters that is being requested to do as meeting all borough standards. It's going to exceed the value we can pull out from not doing the berms. We're working on that. And we do not have an agreement with QAP because we're trying to get the biggest bang for our buck. But from what I hear, I'm guessing we're not going to have enough oomph in that contract to reduce one thing to put it to borough standards because of those other requirements as far as slope, right-of-way, and curvature of the road. Can we say the manager's working on it? Okay. Assemblymember Halter, you want to go next?
Well, they're not going to be required to improve that road to borough standards. But what are the site buffers going to be like? I thought we're still doing a trade-off. They're getting a lesser site buffer, right? And they're getting a...
Mr. Manager?
Yes. The resolution required like Mr. Moore said, 3,000 feet, 15 high buffer. To do that, you are removing a ton of trees and really wiping out a scenic part and looking at a big mound of dirt. It just does not make sense to do the whole thing. That is what was in the contract, so there is value that we can get back for that work to put in. However, the ordinance does say we're going to do that entire entire buffer, and we can do that.
It, right.
Mr. Moore does not think it makes sense. We don't think it makes sense. The question is how much leverage can he get out of this process to...
Well, what is quality?
How much we can...
I mean, is quality willing to do the road?
Quality is willing to do a road to a certain point, but to remove hills, remove curves, and to flatten out roadways, I don't think that they will be. But they will beef up the road. They will clean the ditches. And it'll make it a nice road. Right now, it's better than a lot of the roads we have in the area that we are servicing and are borough roads. So it will be much improved. It's just there are some challenges because of the location and how it was originally laid out.
The clerk just reminded me that we just introduced this for the next meeting, so we're going to be dealing with it then. So it's a little out of order to take too much time. Did you have other comments, Mr. Halter? No? Assemblymember Keough? Assemblymember Solomon?
I have plenty of comments, but I'm not going to share them with you.
Well, I don't know how to take that. Assemblymember Arvin?
No comment.
Okay. I've got three here. I'm going to be asking the attorney to look at our bed tax ordinance code. Had a complaint from a lodge owner that was fined $500 because his payment got in a day late. He mailed it. It was a post office issue. Seems like there could be a graduated way to deal with that. That's a little more humane. But so I'm going to ask the attorney to look at that, see if that's something we can fix. I met with Anchorage Sand and Gravel, the president, and the guy in charge of their gravel mining operations. They're very interested in working with us on, along with anybody else that might be interested on extracting gravel from the Matanuska River. So be interesting to see where that goes. I do look forward to the report on our history with requiring bonds on our road service area contracts. I don't know what all the rationale is for why it's come and gone, but if it's going to make it so expensive as what we've just been shown and what we approved, maybe we need to reconsider it. That's all my comments, and so we are right now ready for executive session. Assemblymember Arvin.
Mr. Mayor, please bear with me. I move to enter into executive session for matters which the immediate public knowledge of, which would clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of the borough, and matters which by law, municipal charter, or ordinance are required to be kept confidential, in particular to discuss the MV Susitna. In the past, the borough had an offer on the ferry. When those offers fell through, the assembly was notified by a broker that he could not get anyone to offer that amount or anything higher. That had a negative impact on the borough assembly and public knowledge of any disposal has a clear negative impact on the borough's finances. Also, the Assembly needs to fully discuss options and impacts regarding Federal Transportation Administration liabilities. Those present during the executive session will be the mayor, the members of the assembly, the clerk, the attorney, the manager, and the finance director.
Okay, Assemblymember Member Halter.
I would like to add to that list the assistant borough manager, George Hayes, too, please.
Okay, so motion to amend. Is there objection? Okay, welcome. Welcome, Mr. Assistant Manager. So we will adjourn or recess into executive session, and if we need to the side room, if we need to go beyond 10 o'clock, we're going to have to come out, though, and Mr. Keogh.
With that thought in mind, in the possibility, I hope it's a small one, that we would go beyond 10 o'clock, I would move that we extend the meeting closing time to 10:30.
Is there okay, there is objection. Madam Clerk, would you take the vote on the motion to extend the meeting?
Assemblymember Halter.
No.
Assemblymember Keogh.
Yes.
Assemblymember Salmon.
I got a vote no.
Assemblymember Culver.
No.
Assemblymember Culligan.
No.
Assemblymember Woods.
No.
And Assemblymember Arvin.
No.
Mr. Mayor, it failed.
Okay, let's get in there and get it over with.
What time? We got 2 and 3 over at